Hi everyone, welcome to Rewatchable episode 72. We're going to be covering Avatar The Last Airbender episodes 13, The Blue Spirit, and 14, The Fortune Teller. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, or you can contact us on our Twitter at @RE_watchable, or you can comment on this post on hyperball.com. And of course, hi, I'm Danya, again, remembering to introduce myself. Ooh. And it's Attack of the Newbies.
Yeah.
Let's go around. Everyone say hi.
Hi, I'm Karen.
Hi, I'm Mariana.
Hi, I'm Brittany.
Cool. So, yeah, let's get right into it with episode 13, The Blue Spirit. Synopsis for this episode. In this chapter, Katara is super sick and Sokka is yelling at rocks, so Aang has to run over to the crazy old bat in the mountains to get some frozen frogs to suck on. But then everything changes when the Fire Nation's merry men attack, and Aang gets captured by General Zhao. Fortunately, the Blue Spirit shows up to spring him out of the big house, and surprise, it's Zuko! And things suck now, but in another time and another world, they could have been friends. When I first read this a little bit earlier, when I got a chance on my lunch break at work, all I was thinking is Veronica Mars. It's like in another world they could have been friends, but then I was thinking a long time ago.
That brings back memories. Wonderful.
It does.
So I actually really love this episode a lot. It has everything that I love about everything, including archers. I love archers and archery.
I do too. Okay, well, slight side note. I just started watching Arrow. Guys, I love it. But that's the end of my side note.
We're going to have to talk about this later.
No, we can't get too into it because... No.
So, yes. Consequences episode, because obviously I'm hoping you all watched the last episode at least. So the episode where they get caught in the rain and the storm. Consequences, because now they're all sick except for Aang. But
I really appreciated the continuity of that.
It's great, right? I just love that. A lot of things, even when you think they don't have immediate consequences, may or may not have consequences later. I love it. But this had an immediate consequence. Don't go out in the rain, kids. With no coat. Yeah. So Aang, obviously, being the only healthy one, has to go up to the mountain to find the crazy cat lady.
She was a crazy cat lady.
She was a cat lady. No exaggeration this time. Actual crazy cat lady. Whose cat likes to eat flowers.
I mean, my cat eats weird things.
Yeah,
not flowers, but like cheese and bread and stuff.
Like on the spectrum of weird things, flowers is not that bad.
My cat used to eat. We used to have a fuchsia bush kind of thing in the front garden, and she used to lie under there. But then sometimes she just start eating it. It was like, cat, you are weird.
My cat is like old and senile and still brings chipmunks in. Like, look, I still got it. No.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so archery. I love these archer guys so much, and it's got nothing to do with my feelings about Hawkeye.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit. It's got absolutely nothing to do with it. But. I'm guessing this is Ariana who had the question about the archers.
Yeah. Okay, so they're like, yes, they can hit, like, a bird 5 miles away. But, like, Aang is like this child, like, human person. And he's just, like, standing there and they don't... Yeah, there's, like, all these guys shooting and shooting and shooting. And nobody, like, even grazes his, like, shirt. And I was like, he's literally standing still, guys. What is wrong with you? I was unimpressed with them.
To be fair, he was using his bending to, like, move the direction of the arrows. So I feel like, you know, he's not that easy of a target.
But, like, at the beginning, he wasn't. They caught him totally off guard.
That is a good point, though.
Like, he I was, get that they didn't want to kill him.
Yeah.
But you could definitely, like, hit his leg or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, just
like,
shoot
don't
him
go the... for a kill shot, but, like...
But, like, injure him.
Yes.
How?
Get his hand. If you're so good, like, get his hand so he can't do his, like, bending.
Remind me never to get on your bad side.
She's going to find real good archers when she's coming after you.
Ariana should clearly be the one in charge in the Fire Nation.
Obviously.
Get stuff done. Not
yeah,
have any
these
of these.
People are so incompetent. I'd have the Avatar down, like, the next day.
Do you know what? I don't doubt it. Yeah, so we get a little bit of a hint of the Fire Nation's plans as well, a little bit more. So they kind of talk a bit about Ba Sing Se. And what do you guys think Ba Sing Se is going to be like? Because obviously we know from the way they were talking that it's a major target for them. But what do you think about Ba Sing Se in general? Like, how do you imagine it?
It's like the last holdout, isn't it? That's kind of how they made it seem. Like the last major city that they have to conquer.
Yeah. I kind of picture it as
am
like
I right,
a fortress.
I'm not going to like tell you either way if you're right or not.
I see.
Interesting to hear your thoughts on it so that we've got it documented. And then when we go later, see if you were right or not.
Yeah, I see it as like a fortress too, Karen. Like this big, giant, awesome city that's totally fortified and they've got really awesome people there. And that's like the Earth Nation, right? So then all the cool Earth Nation people are there and they're fighting the fire people.
Oh, interesting. Karen, do you think...
Watch, it's going to be like this loser place where everybody's like starving. Because... They've just been, like, holed up for 100 years, and they have no food, so.
What about you, Brittany?
I was thinking, all I imagined was, like, a city of, like, Troy, where it kind of, like, looks like there's a giant wall there, but, and then just nothingness all around it. So it's just this, like, but as you're approaching it, all you see is, like, this, the city in the distance, but they have all these, like, things that can, like, you know, earth bend before you get there, so it kind of looks easy to penetrate, but they've been prepping for so long that they're gonna kill them all.
I keep thinking about the prison from The Walking Dead, but maybe that's because I've been watching a lot of Walking Dead lately, so probably not gonna be zombies, I'm guessing.
I imagine like Marine from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
That's what I imagine.
I guess we'll see when we get to Ba Sing Se eventually. We'll see who was right. Moving on from Ba Sing Se, the big reveal that Zuko is the Blue Spirit. Who was expecting it?
Not me.
Not me.
Really? Guys, come on.
No, oh my god. I thought of, like, everybody except for Zuko. Like, I was thinking...
Are you kidding me?
Okay, it was the crazy cat lady, and then I was like, well, maybe it was the geisha warrior from, like, a few episodes ago, or maybe it's, like, I half expected, like, Boomy to show up.
Yeah, right?
I was thinking about everybody except for Zuko, and when he took his mask off, I was so surprised.
I was the exact same thing as Karen. I thought it was, like, because last week we were talking about that, like, Easter egg where the girl was, like, watching Zuko fight his dad, and I was like, oh, maybe it's her, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, maybe it's that. I also thought it was the crazy mountain lady. And then when it was Zuko, I was so surprised, and I was like, this show is so good. I did not see it coming. But, you know, we're not all as smart as Ariana.
I coming, guys. Obviously. No. Maybe I just have a very Fire Nation mentality. But, like, when I saw Zuko, because Zuko was like, oh, he can't get the Avatar, then my honor will never be restored. I was like, oh, he's going to go get him out of there so that he can catch him. That was what I thought. And then he was such a good fighter. I was super impressed. I was like, good job, Zuko.
I think he really was. I loved all of his fighting scenes in this episode are just so good. It's so beautifully animated. I just, every time I see this episode, I'm like, oh, it's so pretty.
And I think maybe that's part of the reason why it didn't clue me in that it was him, because I felt like he was really sneaking around so much, and he's a very aggressive fighter, and he was very much just trying to get out of there without, you know, taking on a whole bunch of guards. And maybe that's why it didn't occur to me that it was Zuko.
I thought he didn't want to get caught.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but Zuko. I think, yeah. And that was another thing. I was like, wow, it's Zuko. He saved him. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess that kind of makes sense because he wants to be the one to capture him. But I also feel like, I don't know, something else is going on there as well, because it seems like their discussion at the end, he was angry and he shot like a fireball at him, but he didn't go after Aang afterwards either. He kind of just like went back home and like slammed his bedroom door and sulked in his room, you know, like a typical teenager.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, maybe some of his determination is like waning or something.
Or he's kind of realizing that he really has nowhere he belongs, because like he can't go home. He's understanding that his dad is sending this other admiral to come and get the Avatar. So even if so his father's kind of losing faith in his ability to get this Avatar and bring him back, and then he's realizing that the Avatar is like a nice kid and could possibly be friends with him, and Zuko just has his uncle, like that's all he's got.
Aww. But did his dad ever really care if he brought the Avatar back? I feel like no,
but they were saying Iroh was saying, like, he has the hope that he would bring it back, but now maybe that hope is kind of gone because he's realizing that someone else is, like, he's like, well, whatever, my son's not doing it, I'm just going to give it to someone else.
Like, even when he sent him off, the Avatar had been gone for, like, 100 years, so I wasn't on those episodes, but I feel like that was just, like, this is how we can get rid of you. Go find the Avatar. That's never going to happen.
That, when I was first watching, that was how I saw it as well, was that he knew it was going to be an impossibility. He just wanted Zuko gone. So, yeah, I kind of agree with that. Cool. So, favorite scenes. Let's start with Karen.
Mine was when Zuko was revealed as the person who saved Aang, and I put this in capital letters in the doc because it was just very important and surprising. and I don't know, I was just really happy, and I kind of like came to the conclusion that yeah, he was doing that for himself, but I still feel like maybe this is Zuko going in another direction slowly but surely.
Okay. Ariana?
My favorite scene was the one at the end, even though I thought it was really sad, because, like, Aang is sitting there talking about how he used to have so many friends in the Fire Nation, and I just, it was really sad for me to think about this kid who, like, fell asleep, basically, and his world was great, and it was fine, and he woke up, and it's, like, falling apart, and so, I was sad.
All sad just thinking about it, because you think of all the friends that he had, and yeah, he's got Katara and he's got Sokka now, but in the whole world, they're all that he has, and he's kind of latched onto them. And yeah, it's just thinking about like how many other friends he would have had. Oh, it's just so sad to know that you've lost everything and all you've got now are these two people. I'm making myself upset.
Yeah, I'm really sad now. Wasn't expecting this.
You should expect to get upset when I come up with feelings on every single episode of anything that we do, Karen. Brittany, what was your favorite?
Well, so on a lighter note, jeez, when Aang is, like, all chained up and the frogs start to, like, melt and, or thaw, they don't melt, but they're, like, still half frozen and, like, they're just, like, pulling themselves by, like, one arm or just, like, their top half is going, and you just kept seeing them for the rest of the episode. I thought they were so funny.
I was really afraid somebody was going to, like, squish one out of anger, and I was really glad that it didn't happen.
That would have been horrible.
I know.
For me, it was just whenever archery was on the screen. Everything archery ever, basically. I'm not adding the second part of what I put in the dark.
Danya, do you read the Hawkeye comic book?
Do I? Yes, I do.
You do? Okay, because I heard it's like the best comic book out right now, okay. Like ever.
I have a lot of feelings about Matt Fraction and David Aja's Hawkeye series. We are not getting into it on this podcast because okay. We will literally be here for 4 hours. You know, like 84 years later, I'll be like, and that's why you should be reading Hawkeye. Yeah, no, trust me. If we're going to get into it, we'll get into it. Like, I'll talk to you about it outside of the... But everyone should read it. It doesn't matter if you don't know Marvel at all, it doesn't matter. All you need to know is Hawkeye is part of the Avengers. And it's that accessible. It's a really great first comic for anyone who wants to get into comics. So, and we'll leave it at that. But yes, I am reading it. Cool, let's go to favorite lines. And we'll go with Karen again first.
Mine was a pretty simple one. It was from Sokka, and it's when he said, "Classic Appa." And I just love the whole scene when he was so delirious, and he was like, "Appa is so funny, you guys." And it was just, oh, it was so great.
Oh my god, that reminds me of when he was like, "Take that, you rock!" Like, he was just so out of it.
I love delirious Sokka so much. I almost chose the line that was, like, right before that, which I'm now forgetting what it was, but that whole scene leading up to Classic Appa. It's like, he's just so hilarious.
Oh, I have it here, where he goes, "You know what I love about Appa the most? His sense of
sense
humor."
Sense of humor. Oh, just delirious Sokka is just the best.
And then even, like, funnier is Katara's response. She's like, "That's nice. I'll tell him." Like, she's just so patronizing about it.
Oh, she really is. Ariana, let's go with yours.
Mine was in that same scene with Aang that I was talking about earlier, where he tells Zuko, "If we knew each other back then, do you think we could have been friends too?" It's really then, sad. They probably
the
would have been friends. Yes.
I actually mean that literally because Zuko did actually attack him.
Yes.
Kind of. Oh, well, he shot fire at him. Yeah.
That is so sad.
Brittany?
Again, on a lighter note. I was going to put this as my favorite scene, but then I went with the frogs because they made me laugh harder. But the whole time that Momo was trying to bring back, like, stuff that wasn't water, and then, like, they just, like, survey the scene, and he's brought back, like, literally everything that he can besides water.
Yes.
I loved that. But My favorite line was when Aang goes to the mountain, like the herbalist woman, and she's like going, she's like rambling on and like feeds her cat, and he's like, "You're insane, aren't you?" And she's like, "That's right." Like he just leaves.
And yet,
I loved that Aang whole scene.
Yeah, that whole thing. But that kind of, I guess my follows on as well. My line. Yeah, because mine was the, wait, my friends need to suck on those frogs.
Yeah.
The idea of sucking on frogs.
Ew.
Frozen frogs.
I know, and then when they actually did it, and they looked like little ice pops, but then they started to melt, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, I would just wait out the cold, probably.
Just, yeah, let's just stay here, let's just stay wrapped up nice and warm, and, no sucking on frogs. Thanks. Ugh. So, next is episode 14, which was Fortune Teller. In this chapter, Aang's hot for an older woman, so he gives Katara a gumball necklace, and they head over to the Fortune Teller's house under the volcano. The Fortune Teller's like, "Sokka, you're going to be unhappy forever, and Aang, you're going to save the world. And Katara, you're going to marry someone totally hot and powerful." And we're like, "Lady, that is not exciting news at all. We could have told you that. But actually, wait, that Katara info is kind of interesting, so let's let it marinate." So everyone is happy picking flowers for their beloved, but then everything changes when the fire volcano attacks. And the tree... and the trio has to save the day and convince everyone the fortune teller is wrong, but actually they just convince everyone she's right by saving the day. Also, a cute little girl calls Katara a floozy.
Ariana, yes. I love you so much.
Yeah, I'm so happy you're writing these.
It's great. They're so great. They're so great. It's...
I'm really glad I was on mute because, like Karen, I was cracking up. I was like, oh my gosh.
I couldn't hold it in.
See, reading this, I'm like, okay, don't laugh through the whole thing. Don't laugh. But I'm like grinning like a maniac every time I read one of Ariana's synopses. Just, it just cracks me up. It's so hard to get through them, guys. Be glad you're not me. Cool. So, Aang gives Katara a new necklace to replace her mother's one. Cry. Because she doesn't have that.
It's so cute. Guys, I have to say, I could tell that they were trying to push Aang and Katara to us before, and I was so not into it, because obviously Aang is an infant child. But now I kind of like it. I think it's cute. Like, did you guys ever see the Naked Brothers Band? It was on Nickelodeon like 10 years ago. It had Nat Wolf. Nat and his little brother, Alex Wolf. Okay, never mind.
Right, okay. Well, I've heard of it. I've just never actually seen an episode.
Well, they were precious. Well, Nat Wolf had, he was like 12 and he had a crush on his 14-year-old friend. And they were cute. She was really, really old and mature, and he was not. He sang songs about milk. But anyway, that's the end of my story.
I don't know. I'm still in that Aang is an infant child bit.
Oh no, obviously he does not need a girlfriend or anything, but I still think it's cute when he gives her necklaces.
That was a very, very cute moment. The bit that I, like, that it still makes me cringe a little bit is when you get that zoomed out, like, full body pan of Katara and she's sparkling. And I'm like, they're going, no, that's just weird.
I really liked that part.
Oh, of course you would.
It was funny.
It's like a little boy having a crush on his babysitter.
It really
pretty much.
Is. It is really.
That's pretty much how I feel like it is right now. And I think that's kind of cute, so.
But do
I'm
you
not
think.
Into it.
Do you think it's foreshadowing, though?
Oh, I don't.
Well, I don't know. That what that lady said, I don't know how much we can trust her. But she's like, you're going to marry a powerful bender. But there's a lot of those around. So.
Like Zuko. There are. That's true.
Like oh, Zuko. Have you found your ship?
Did we find your ship, Brittany?
No. You know what happened? You guys are in my head and are making me look for this ship in every possible place that I could like see it. And it won't go away. It's from the
Wait,
first
are
episode
are you guys shipping
on.
This? They haven't even like interacted.
I know. I'm not shipping it, but I have a feeling that everyone in the world ships it.
I feel like we're in a bubble right now because I'm too afraid to like if we were watching this show live, we could go on Tumblr or something, like, connect with the fandom, but, like, we can't do that because we don't want to get spoiled since the show has already aired, so I feel very much in a bubble right now, and I'm like, I kind of have Zutara feelings, and
really?
A little bit, I don't know, but, yeah. Like, I don't
because
know
they're
if
getting
that's...
into your head, that's why, Karen.
Maybe.
Yeah,
and
they're
I'm
in
like,
my head.
I don't know if that's wrong or not. Like, what if they turn out to be siblings or something? Like, that could be really awkward, and I don't know what to think.
But they, like, literally have never interacted.
Once.
After the first
they did
episode.
Once.
When? In the first episode?
No. When,
oh, he
when
had
she...
her necklace.
Yeah, that was very significant.
You mean when he picked up her necklace?
And
no,
then she...
No, he had her tied up.
Oh.
Oh God!
This was not significant. I cannot even remember it happening. I remember he picked up her necklace. He stole it, and then she was like, "So obviously that means they're meant to be together because he's gonna give her back the necklace." And
well, he came up like behind her. I remember this was like a few weeks ago, and I was watching the episode, and I wrote in the like our little chat. I was like, you guys are really in my head, because when he showed up behind her, I gasped. I audibly gasped. And I'm like, I don't know why I shouldn't feel this way. They, like Ariana saying, they've never interacted, but as soon as they were, like, sharing the same space, I was into it. I don't want to be.
I mean, he's definitely her type, because she likes them bad boys.
And she likes people who can bend.
She likes bend.
In pun
she
intended.
Likes them flexible. But I mean, I can see why it would be like a ship down the road, but they have literally like not really interacted at all. So he took her necklace. I don't see why that's true love. Also, they're 14, but
there's also that. I was just wondering if, like, yeah, I was just wondering. I was nudging gently for a discussion. It's just very interesting to see if people pick up ships.
I mean, I'm not shipping Aang and Katara either. I just think it's cute that he has a crush on her.
Yeah. You clearly have other thoughts for what you want to see from Aang. I'm going to read this whole thing out because I want this so bad. Ariana put, also, I really want a TV show of grown-up Aang as, like, the hot avatar where he rules over the world with his wisdom and also has mad game with the ladies.
Yes, guys. Okay, because that's what the lady was saying to Katara, because Katara's like, I really want him to be tall and like sexy, and she's like, oh yeah, your husband's gonna be like this great bender. And I was like, just imagine if the avatar wasn't a little kid and he was like this awesome badass, like he would get so much game, like, oh, the ladies would love him.
I really want to see a grown-up Aang too.
Do you think the show will go that far?
No, it's going to end after this summer when the comet comes and, like, destroys the planet with its fire.
Okay. Do either of Karen or Brittany, do you think we'll ever get to see Grown Up Aang on the show?
I don't know.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean...
Flash forward. Oh, my gosh. Like, in the spirit world?
Oh. I was just thinking with Avatar, like, if this is all going to be sequential, that he's probably going to stay roughly the same age or maybe, like, age up a year or two. But I don't expect him within the show to see, like, to turn, like, 18 or anything.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking more of, like, in the final season, once we already, I'm assuming he doesn't die, but this is just an assumption, that, like, they'll have, like, a sort of flash-forward thing. Maybe we'll see him, like, sitting all high and wise in a tower somewhere in the new Air Nation.
I'm not commenting. I love this. I'm just, like, mental noting everything down, and I'm going, okay. It's going to be interesting as we keep going through. It really, really is. To, like, if you keep stuff in mind of, like, what you've said and what you've thought, and then when we get, oh, it's going to be so great. I can't wait to get further. I think we kind of already went over shipping, so I'm going to skip the next point, which was saying the writers are trolling the shippers. Because they are, it's true. But we've already kind of gone over the shipping bit a bit more, and we've talked a little bit about Katara's future husband, whoever he may be. Yeah, so we got a really nice kind of parallel between Katara and Sokka, where Katara wants to know every detail about her life, and she really puts a lot of stock in the fortune teller and believes her, and Sokka's like, no, just no to everything. It's ridiculous. What did you guys think about that? Like, the complete divide between those two?
I thought this was amazing, actually, and had kind of a bigger message than just the show that I don't really want to get into, because I think a lot of it has to do with religion and that sort of thing. But what I thought was interesting was Katara, who, I don't know, she seems really scared to me, and I think that's why she wants to know every detail of her life, because she doesn't know what her future holds, and I think she's terrified, and I think she's really good at hiding that, and she tries to be in control a lot and on top of everything, but she's not, especially when you're around Aang, because he's the Avatar, he gets all the attention, he's very powerful, and I think she feels second best a lot, and she just wants to know that everything's going to be okay. And then on the flip side of that, you have Sokka, who doesn't, you know, he believes in science and reason and logic, and that's fine, but there are also, like, unexplained things out there that science can't really answer. And I think it was an interesting look at, like, going to one extreme or the other isn't necessarily a good thing. Like, you know, believing in the fortune teller and only believing in the fortune teller isn't good. Same thing with science. You need sort of like a happy medium and a balance there.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point about Katara that I didn't think about until you just said it, where she does try to take charge a lot, and that's one of the things that annoys me most about her, and, like, kind of when she, like, has to introduce Aang all the time, and we talked about how it's a continuity thing, but this episode, I actually liked her more than I have been, and I think it has to do with the fact that she was finally, like, acting, like, completely just not focused on, we have to learn how to bend and do all this stuff. She just wanted to see what was past that and know that there's, like, another future for her where she's happy and in love and is making a home, even and though she's babies. Still married to, like, a powerful bender.
Yeah, and she dies. She gets to die in her sleep as an old lady, so we know that.
Yeah, with great grandchildren.
If this lady can be trusted. Yeah, so we know she gets the happy ending ish. Everyone else might die.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't, because I feel like toward the end she was basically just telling her whatever she wanted to hear to kind of get her out of there.
Yeah, I don't know if the future is set in stone, but I think the whole reasoning behind it, where she can, like, have this vision in her head where she's like, okay, I am going to have a life past this comet hitting the world and it ending, and I'm not going to be running around with the Avatar forever. unless, like, she heard Sokka say at the end of this episode that Aang's a really good bender. So
do you think it's... I'm trying to think how to word it. If the fortune teller was right, do you think it's likely that Katara could outlive them all? Or do you think it's more likely that she won't live to be as old as she possibly would be to get, like, her third grandkids? Depending on how young she is when she marries, I guess, and has her own kids.
Well, I would like the world to survive this comet first. And then make a judgment call as to how long she's going to live. She might not live to see 15, so I don't know.
I mean, I guess, like, thinking about it, it might make sense for her to outlive them. Like, her brother is, like, a warrior and stuff, so he could always die in battle. And Aang is the Avatar. I feel like the Avatar should live to be really old. I imagine them as really old people, like Dumbledore. But I don't know.
Karen, what do you think?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I guess I kind of see Katara living for a long time, but I don't know if that's just because that's what I want, or if, like, this is a Nickelodeon show and, like, I don't really see anybody dying. But, I mean, I guess it's a possibility. Who knows?
Women outlive men by an average of 7 years.
Did you know that, or did you just Google that?
No, I knew that already.
Cool. I was just wondering, because I think I can just about hear someone typing in the background, and I was like, someone Googling. But yeah, obviously with this episode, like, focusing so much on love and love lives, Sokka goes and gives some advice to Aang about being a nice guy. And tells him that the number one mistake nice guys like you make is being too nice.
Not true. Not at all.
I was like, oh, Sokka, why are you saying that?
That's bad advice.
Like, I don't know. I took it the complete opposite way. I thought he was, like, in his head, he was genuinely, like, offering Aang what he believed to be true, but then I was thinking about it, and in Aang's case, it might be helpful, because Aang is almost too nice, and it kind of, like, and too, I mean, I get he's 12, and too naive a little bit, but I don't know, I thought it was actually pretty good advice for Aang, because he's maybe a little too happy-go-lucky and trusting of people.
I think he needs that, though. I think that because he's the Avatar, he needs to sort of keep that innocence about him. And if that makes him a little juvenile sometimes and a little naive, I'm kind of okay with that, because I feel like if he's bringing hope to everybody, he can't be the super serious person. He has to be sort of fun and silly sometimes.
Yeah, he has such a weight on his shoulders right now. That I think it's really cool of that he can be happy.
I like that Aang is very, very innocent and naive in his own way. And I like that he's very trusting of people. Because sometimes to get the best out of people, you have to believe that they can be their best selves. So I kind of like that. I like that he's a really nice, really trusting, really naive guy as well. So I wouldn't want him to change that ever.
I think maybe I'm just a little, I am antsy about the timeline, because I don't know the time. I can't, like, you know, look at the sky and see when this comet's coming myself. But I think I'm just a little too antsy, and I want him to, like, go and master all these elements and stop, like, talking to people and... I don't know. That's me. I'm his little, like, life coach in the background. Like, being like, remember, Aang, you can't have too much fun. You have to actually learn how to, you know, earthbend and firebend.
It took him like a day to learn to waterbend, so I think he's going to be okay.
Yes.
So you're basically Katara.
I know. I'm becoming my own worst enemy.
You don't like Katara, Brittany?
No, I do not like Katara.
Why?
Wait. How am I like Katara? I'm not going around being like, hey, best friends with an avatar. I'm more like, you need to do your job.
She does that too, though. She always reminds him that he has to, like, you know, keep moving on. Don't ride the giant fish. Like, we need to go to wherever we're going.
But that was when they were trying
She's
to get
like,
to the
remember,
North Pole.
You're the avatar.
That was when they were trying to get to North Pole, and she was trying to get waterbending skills. She wanted to go there for her own good, to learn from a real waterbender. And now that stop is kind of, like,
bad?
Out of the way, because he can waterbend now, she's like, oh, well.
He can
do whatever you want.
He can manipulate water. I wouldn't necessarily say he's what I would class as a master of waterbending, which I think he would need to be at this point. But mm-hmm. do you not think that Katara's motivations are still a little bit selfish, that she wants to get to the North Pole just as much for herself as for Aang? Do you think?
I think she has. Well, go ahead, Brittany.
No, I was going to say
you're being mean.
Well, I don't like Katara. I think that she now realizes that there's more pressure on Aang being the, like, getting more training out of this visit to the North Pole, but it's still there, like, at the forefront of her mind that she could be an awesome waterbender and must get all this training. So it's completely selfish.
So, but what's wrong with that? What's wrong
that
with her wanting to become a better...
There's a comet coming to kill the world!
Yes, and she needs to be able to defend herself. I just don't see why that's an issue.
Because...
She has a gift.
Well, then
she wants to make it
there.
Better.
Can they leave her at the North Pole and come back for her?
I don't understand why you think she's bad. I think that she's a great asset to their team. Like they were saying, she's the only one who's like, come on, Aang, you have to be the Avatar now.
Don't like her. She annoys me.
Well, I think you're a mean person, Brittany.
That's okay.
I think she's a very sweet little girl.
Ariana, would you replace Katara with the weird little girl?
I do love that little girl. She is so funny. I think she would be an asset to their team, too. She'd bring the laughs.
And some food for Sokka.
That's very true.
Food? Does she have food?
Yeah, she brought the nice tray of treats.
Okay. I was like, don't eat her.
No. Okay. I'm not that awful of a person.
We kind of covered off the last 2 points we had on the thing. I mean, we kind of discussed a little bit, but in the ultimately, do you think the fortune teller is actually right or wrong? You know, how much do you think we can trust her predictions? Because, I mean, her last prediction technically wasn't wrong. Technically.
I think this is so interesting, actually, because I feel like, and this is sort of how I view, like, real world things, too, that it's, you know, it's okay to believe in things and to kind of look to a higher power to figure out which direction you should go in, but it's also really important to take control of your own life, because what ended up happening was, like, you know, she said the volcano wouldn't destroy the town that year, and it didn't, but the fact that it didn't was because, you know, this small group of kids basically came there to stop it. And so it's like, you can't live life just sitting by and trusting that nothing is ever going to happen to you. But, you know, it's okay to sort of have a positive attitude and try to think that, you know, maybe not everything is in your hands, but if you can control something, you should definitely try, or a giant volcano might destroy your house.
What about you, Brittany?
I think I agree with what Karen's saying, that there is this, like, you can find a balance between how much you take the advice of the fortune teller or any, like, people who read horoscopes and they're like, oh, this month the moon is here and you're going to come into a lot of money and, you know, you get, like, a 15-cent raise. Like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But it's sort of like the guy with the red shoes when Sokka goes up to him and he's like, what did the fortune teller tell you to wear those shoes? And he was like, well, she said that I was going to meet the love of my life when I was wearing red shoes. And he's like, so how long have you been wearing those red shoes? And he's like, since I talked to the fortune teller. So like, yeah, it's going to happen because you're wearing the red shoes. Like you're still in control of what is going on in your life, even though that person's like giving you a little bit of hope and guidance.
Do you agree, Ariana?
Probably not.
I'm
just kidding, Ariana.
I'm sorry that I'm defending a 14-year-old girl. I know I was much worse as a 14-year-old. I would have been terrible help for this avatar. But I think she's the real deal within this little universe. I think that, I mean, it, like most prophecies, they end up being self-prophetic, like Harry Potter reference of the episode. Like, would Harry have destroyed Voldemort if Voldemort hadn't thought Harry was going to destroy Voldemort? Like, I think that that's how most things are, especially when you hear them, you make them come true. So, but everything she said is true. So, and she has weird eyes, so.
Right, let's move on to favorite scenes. My favorite scene is Goddammit Karen, which is totally a scene from this episode because Goddammit Karen. Karen took my favorite scene. And I can't pick another one because that one was too great. So Karen's just going to have to say what it is for both of us, or I'll steal it.
Well, I'm definitely going to say it, because my favorite scene was when the platypus bear, which, okay, when the platypus bear got so scared it basically pooped an egg, which I don't really understand what was going on there, but it was funny.
I just love that those were the two animals that were combined.
Yeah, in this episode. Seriously.
I just, when it poops the egg.
Like, what is that? I'm so scared I just gave birth. Like,
I just love that little, oh my God. The whole episode, just that one little bit. Just every single time.
Oh. Have you guys ever seen like 18 Kids and Counting?
Yes.
Okay. Remember when the daughter, like, or the daughter-in-law, she like, they're having a home birth, and so she has to go to the bathroom, and she has the baby.
Yeah.
Like in the bathroom.
Weirdest thing ever.
Yeah. And they were like filming it.
What?
Yeah.
I'm really missing something.
Oh, no, you're like, not. Trust me. Just let it go.
Okay. I'm not even going to Google that one then.
Yeah, don't.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to Ariana's favorite scene.
My favorite part was at the end when the little girl is like, bye, guys. And then she's like, floozy. I laughed so hard. I died and was reborn in Avatar and then laughed again. And it was just a cycle. So.
Oh. Brittany?
I think her name was Mang, right? Something like that. The little girl. Anyway, so when the little girl looks at Aang for the first time and it does, like, that glistening type of thing, like it did when he was looking at Katara earlier in the episode, but Aang's, like, expression is just hilarious. Like, he's just not into it. And then the whole thing with, like, the big ears, like, she was foretold that she was going to, like, the love of her life is going to have big ears. And so she's like, you have really big ears.
Oh, I want her to come back so bad.
Do you want her to marry Aang in the future?
No.
No?
Well, maybe. No. They're too weird together. I want her to marry, like, a very, like, stoic man with big ears.
Okay, favorite lines. And I actually have one that no one stole this time. I'm looking at you, Karen. mine was when they're looking, like, looking through the book, and then he goes, I found it! The symbol for volcanic doom. I just love that line. And then the fact that volcanic doom is, like, a giant skull cloud. Like, okay. Okay.
I know, it's like Harry Potter. Again, when I saw it, I was like, ah, we're not going to be able to avoid this one.
Very true. Karen?
Mine was when the fortune teller said, you have to take fate into your own hands. And I think that that was really good advice for Aang. And I also think that it's really good advice in general.
So deep, so profound.
I had to, like, elevate myself after the platypus bear pooping an egg. So.
Ariana?
My favorite line is when the volcano erupts, because everybody's like, no, it's fine, it's fine. And Sokka's telling the guy, can your fortune telling explain that? And then... the guy is like, can your science explain why it rains? And Sokka's like, yes, yes, it can. So I thought that was funny.
I love that line as well. I thought that was great. Brittany, your favorite line?
Mine was from the beginning, like right after Aang takes like the fishing line and he makes Katara the necklace. And Sokka says to him, great, Aang, maybe instead of saving the world, you can go into the jewelry making business. And Aang replies, I don't see why I can't do both.
I love that attitude.
He's going to be so financially responsible when he's older.
He was so cute.
People would totally buy necklaces made by the Avatar, don't you
think?
They
would.
Absolutely. Yes. Especially the town they were just in. They would eat them up.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. We've reached the end of our recap. Again, if you've got anything to say about what you've heard today, our contact information again, our email is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @re_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on Hypeable. And Ariana, do you want to say your incentive for iTunes reviews?
Yes, everyone who gives us a 5-star review will get a beautiful gumball necklace handmade by our very own Karen.
Yeah,
Karen, that's so nice of you.
So nice, Karen.
No You're problem, guys.
Yay, we have some listener feedback. I clearly did not scroll down this far earlier on. But I'm excited about this because the last episode I was on, we didn't have any listener feedback at all. So, yay. We have a comment from Hyperbole from Susan Lyons, which if I actually said that wrong, you can shout at me. Over
I think
the
it's Lyons. Like,
Lyons? Because like, I was thinking Leon, like, as in the French town. Leon.
Oh.
But
I was thinking Lions, as in, like, American. Lions!
So, yes, me being European is clearly a downfall in this place because, yeah.
There we go. Just makes you classier than us.
It really does.
I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to move swiftly on straight into the feedback. Oh, actually, it's one huge piece of feedback. Okay, cool. She went, this was a great episode, guys. I think referring to the previous episode, and she said two things. Different animation styles in a show is common in anime. It's a way to show a character's story in a cute way or fun, and it's most common in shonen, boys-focused anime, and comedy anime. And the second part of it was, choosing a toy from a past life is the same as how the Dalai Lama is chosen. When a boy correctly identified possessions that had belonged to his predecessor and said that they were his, the identification was official. And on a fun note, the current Dalai Lama's name is Tenzin Gyatso.
I love the Dalai Lama so much.
He's
so cool.
Yeah, that is a really cool, that is a fun note for his current name. Ah, I like that.
Did you guys not know that? I think I learned that from like a Dateline episode or something.
A what episode?
No, not Dateline. Dateline is like where they murder you, right? No.
I don't.
I think it was like a 2020 or something.
Yeah, Dateline, like they do a lot of different things. So it could have been Dateline.
It was an interview. It was an interview with Barbara Walters. And then she asked him for a hug. He's awesome.
You know, I definitely didn't like know that. Because when we talked about it last week, that would have made a lot more sense. We were like, "You just chose a toy. What does that mean?"
Hey, well now we know, knowing is half the battle.
Yes.
Throw in a G.I. Joe reference.
I wonder. Do you guys think we'll ever learn about Aang's family? Because it seems like they like I know the Dalai Lama, when he gets chosen, I think he was 4. When he was chosen, he gets taken from his family to go like be raised to be the Dalai Lama. And I wonder if they did that to Aang too. Like, you're the Avatar, now we're taking you to go learn Avatar things.
Yeah, because
there seems to be like no parents there.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering how like that whole system worked, because all those boys were kind of just like living there being raised. I just want to know how that world worked a little more.
Maybe you'll get what you want. Maybe you won't. I don't know.
Maybe he has like nieces and nephews and stuff, guys. Oh, that would be great. Oh no, wait, because the airbenders are all dead. Never mind.
Oh, that note. So sad. Wow. Okay, yeah, we're going to sign off now because we're going to end it on that bombshell. Yeah, so I'm saying bye. So it's bye.
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 That was not awkward.
No.
Not at all.
Danya doesn't know how this works yet.
I was like, wait a minute, am I supposed to say my name or just bye?
I don't know. I changed my
signing off.
We have a system, Danya. You always ruin the system.
Maybe I want my own system. Okay.
I kind of like Danya's. Okay, we're going to go now. Bye.